Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, radio friends. It is again time for the Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles. And I'm giving you an invitation to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we share some thoughts with you from God's holy word. I do appreciate the opportunity that you give us to come to your place of listening. And I trust that the broadcast is a help and a blessing to you. We just want to be a help and a blessing to other folks. Well, let me give you my church announcements. We've come through a lot of our special services. But we'll be heading into a season where we'll be having more. And I'd like to just give you a little update. Of course, all of our normal services, Sunday morning 9:45 for Sunday school, 10:45 morning worship, 6 p.m. Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Wednesday evenings. Now then, this week we will be having our Wednesday night service tonight on the 26th. Since Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we give the ladies time tomorrow night to be preparing their Thanksgiving meal. So we will be having our Wednesday night service tonight on Tuesday. Give you an invitation to come and be with us. Know that the Lord will bless you as He does us each time we meet. Our pastor is Brother Rick Smeltzer, wonderful man of God, preaches the word. And loves his people, takes care of us, watches over us, prays for us, and puts up with us. And I know that if you wanted to be part of a church like that, we'll love you, He'll love you, Lord loves you already. And we'd love to have you come and be part of it. In the future, on the 22nd, 22nd of December, we will be having a candlelight service and the evening service where we do light candles in memory, to honor the memory of those who have gone on before us. We'd like to remember and signify that by lighting a candle in their name. If you'd like to be a part of that, we give you an invitation to come at 6 o'clock on the 22nd. I know God would bless you if you did that. Then January 5th through the 8th, we will be having our winter revival. Brother Tom Gillum be doing the preaching. The Lancaster family be doing the singing. Be some real good singing, preaching. Word of God be preached, and Spirit of God will be present. Give you an invitation to come be in that service. Keep that in mind as we move forward. Now we're going to have another song, or we're going to have a song. And then we'll be back with today's message. And today I have selected a song to go along with Thanksgiving, which is, of course, day after tomorrow. And we do want to stop long enough to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, God, for all of his blessings that he gives us every day. So much of the time, and so many people take it all for granted and never realize the goodness of God is what gives us all of these wonderful things. Give us this great country to live in. He gives us our daily sustenance and just keeps us going day by day. And we do want to honor him for that. And so in honor of that, we're going to have Merlin Williams and Harmony Trio do a song for you this morning that I trust will be a blessing for you and put you in mind to remember to thank God for this wonderful season.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Well, I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have
Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you for who you are, what you can do, and just thank you, Lord, that you came to earth and died in our place. First of all and foremost, that is the most wonderful thing that we can think of to thank you for, that you loved us and that you cared for us enough to do that, and that one day you issued a call that woke us up and brought us out of the world into the realm of the family of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And then every day you bless, we wake up in the mornings, go about our business all day because you give us another day of life. Today's my 81st birthday. I know that every day is a gift. And I know that if without the blessings of God, I would not be here. I certainly would not be able to be doing this broadcast. And I am just so thankful for all that God does. And this week, it should be this way every week, but especially this week, it's been designated as the time set aside that we would remember the goodness and the mercy of God and give him our thanks. And I encourage you to do that this week as we go into the Thanksgiving season. And, of course, this time next week, the Christmas decorations will be everywhere, even more than they are now. Christmas music will be on the radio. We'll be headed into the time that we celebrate our blessed Lord's birth. So as we're heading into the holidays, remember all these things. Keep the Lord first and foremost in our mind, remembering he does bless us, and remembering that without his birth, he could not have lived and died. And without that, and without his resurrection, we would not be saved and have a chance to be saved. So now let's go to the Lord in a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get into the Word of God today. Dear Lord, we do thank you again for all your wonderful blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the broadcast, for the people that listen. I don't know how many they are and don't know what we're accomplishing, but I'm just trusting you, Lord. You said your word wouldn't return void. We're trusting that. We're claiming that. And we're sending the word out, Lord, just doing what we can do, planting the seed, trusting you to water it and make it grow. Now, Lord, I pray for those that are listening, that are sick, need your help. Pray for those, Lord, that are in other stresses and financial troubles and whatever. Lord, that you'd just bless them and help them today. Give them the strength to go on, encourage the discouraged. Lord, strengthen the weak. Draw back those that might have wandered away from you. And most of all today, save some soul that's bound for hell. Turn them around and head them back towards you. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, friends, we return once again to the book of Joshua as we're still looking at the conquest of Jericho. And we've been looking at this now for, this is probably the fifth week. And trust that we're giving you some things that'll be a blessing to you. And as we've looked at this, we've seen the preparation started at Gilgal when they did the reconnaissance, reinstated the practice of circumcision, and they held the Passover. Then there was a perception of the wall. We know that to Israel it looked like it was a problem, but to the people inside the city it looked like protection, and both of them turned out to be wrong. For God it was not a problem, and for the people who believed that it was who perceived it as a protection, they turned out to know it was wrong too. And then we looked last week, beginning looking at the plan. Well, actually we finished that. And you know the plan that God gave Joshua. He said, march around it once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, go around it seven times. And so then we see, first of all, we talked about the predominance of the number seven. I want you to notice that in the plan, the proclamation that God gave was, there's going to be 7 days of marching. There are going to be seven priests. There's going to be seven trumpets. There will be you, then on the seventh day, you will make seven rounds. There'll be seven trumpets there, seven blasts on the seventh round, and that makes nine sevens. Seven sevens. And seven times seven is 49, which is the number of God's his absolute perfection, because the number of seven is the completeness number. God completed everything in 7 days and rested. Seven promises make up the whole of the promises that God made to Abraham. There are seven branches on the candlestick in the temple. Most significant seven was on the seventh day of creation. That was when all of God's work was done and God rested. And what that shows is that God has the ability to finish whatever he starts and to provide for every need along the way. And he was able to rest because at creation it said that he looked and it was all good. And of course, we know that it didn't take Satan too long to get upset because things were going so good. And God had done a wonderful miracle, had stepped out on the brink of nowhere with nothing and created everything. And so we think about all of these sevens and how that that predominant number was there. In other words, God is going to complete this work. And honestly, if you look at this whole thing, Israel had to do nothing except just be there marching when the walls came down. They didn't have to tear the walls down. They didn't have to attack. They didn't have to do any of those things. God did it all, and they simply walked in there and did away with everybody. Now, it is significant to think about the fact that since this is God's completeness, just think about how that God told them, now you cannot have the spoils from this city. All of that's mine. And now in times later, God did allow them to spoil or to take the spoils of war as they conquered countries and conquered people. They did take the belongings. They did get their wealth and became wealthy through the things that they were given as they conquered these lands. But this particular one, God told them, no, you don't get to keep this one. This one's mine. Well, why was it that way? Well, number one, Jericho was a very wicked place, and God really didn't think the people ought to partake of the things there. Second of all, he said, you're going to put all of this stuff into my house. It's going to be mine. You're going to bring it into my treasury, which benefited the people eventually anyway. But it was because God did everything. They didn't have to do a thing. All they did was a little marching, blowing them trumpets, and shouting, and God did the rest. Reminds me that in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that the battle is the Lord's. So we see then the predominance of the number seven, and we realize this is part of the proclamation that God made. Second proclamation was, there was a particular trumpet that they were to use. Now, in Israel, there were two different trumpets that they used for different reasons and at different times. Number one, there was a silver trumpet, and this was used for the assembly for important events when they wanted to have people to come together for some kind of an important event or some kind of an important announcement. They would blow that silver trumpet, which had a certain sound. But then they had another trumpet. And that trumpet was made of a ram's horn. And this one was strictly used for nothing more than celebrations. We are given an example of that, which helps us to understand. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, begin reading with verse 8, God said, and thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, and the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement. Shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. And so we find that God said you only use that, you can only use that, that ram's horn trumpet for the celebration. And this particular celebration that it's talking about is associated with number 49, where he said, after those 49 years, that is the year of Jubilee. That's the year of freedom. That's the year that possessions return to those that have lost them. It's the year that if a man has sold himself into slavery, that he is released from that slavery and can go back to his own house and to his own family. And so we find there is a particular trumpet, I believe, that when the trumpet sounds at the rapture of the church, it'll be the ram's horn. that'll be blown, because that signifies the absolute jubilee of the Church of the Living God. We'll be set free from all of the things that we're bound by down here in this world, and we will be cut loose from gravity, and we will ascend up into heaven to be with the Lord and go with Him where He goes, into His place. And so I believe that that's exactly what we will hear. We will hear the sound of the trumpet of the ram's horn. And by the way, that trumpet will blow loud enough that even the dead in Christ are going to hear it. And then the ones that are alive, who remain still on the earth, they'll be caught up together. Once the ones who have died in Christ rise from the dead, then we will join them and all together go up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm telling you, that'll be a victorious day. That'll be a wonderful day. That'll be a glorious day. A day that God's people look forward to. The ram's horn. A day of celebration, day of jubilee, day of freedom, the day that burdens are laid down for good and chains are broken for good, and we rise to meet the Lord in the air. You see, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave, and Satan, there when He resurrected from the dead. And He brought eternal life to each and every one that will believe upon Him. And for those who are saved, we are in a battle every day with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And but we're not fighting to gain victory. We're fighting because He has already won the victory. And just like this, you remember what God told Joshua when He looked at that big old wall? He said, look, I have given it to you. It was already His. In God's mind, He'd already he already knew that the victory was won. And Joshua was not fighting for that victory. He was fighting from the victory that God knew was going to happen. Friend, if you're a child of God, you can be encouraged today to know that the victory's already been won. We just have to claim it and accept it and live in the shadow of it and enjoy it, and to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth. I have given it to you, just like the victory that is ours today, because He has given it to us. And then we move on to the next point, which is that patience was required. Now, I must tell you that marching every day was no small task. Joshua chapter number 6 tells you plainly that that was the ram's horn trumpet that was used. And then I want you to notice that this marching thing was no small task, because chapter 6, verse 12 says, Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. So, you see, in order to do what they had to do, they had to get up every morning. They had to march to Jericho. They had to march around it. And every day, I'm sure, it was the same old thing over and over. They didn't see anything happening. Nothing's going on except we're just out here marching. The soldiers had to be armed. I mean, they had to get all of their armor on, and I guess, and take all of their weapons, and then they had to march around that city. And not only that, but it wasn't necessarily easy and without some patience for the priests who had to carry the ark. And for 6 days they did that straight. Then, that's going on. Nothing is happening. And if I know soldiers, I'm sure soldiers have probably pretty much always been the same. When I was in there, soldiers complained a lot. I mean, you know, God told, Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier. So there's some things that's kind of hard to do when you're a soldier. There's a lot of loneliness. There's a lot of discomfort. There's a lot of times that you'd love to be doing something, and yet you got to be doing what the soldier's duty is. And so we do find that I'm sure it was not easy, and they were kept saying, "Well, Joshua, nothing's happening. What's going on? We just keep marching." But he said, "Just keep marching. Just keep going." You know what? Sometimes when we don't see anything happening, when we don't think God's doing anything, all we have to do, all we can do, just keep on marching. Just keep on putting one foot in front of the other one, doing what God said, trusting Him that He's going to make whatever we're doing prosper. As I said before, I have no idea what kind of an audience I have or if I even have one. But I can't quit. I mean, this is the ministry that God's given me, and I cannot let it down. If there's just one person out there listening that's getting a blessing, then I'm assuming that's what God put this broadcast on here for. He provides for it. He finances it. He gives me the funds to pay for it. And He uses me to make this broadcast, and He allows me to do this. It's a great privilege for me. All I can do, just come back every week and hammer on the gospel one more time. Just tell the story of Jesus Christ and what He's done at Calvary. What it meant to my life that day that He came in and revealed to me my condition and saved me by His marvelous grace. I mean, that's all I can do, is I can just keep telling the story. And the Apostle Paul said that the gospel was the power of God unto salvation, and I believe that if we put that gospel out there, it has the power to do today what it's always done. God's not changed. God's not lost any of His power, and neither has the gospel. And I think as we reach that milestone, I'm going to stop there and do my closing comments. Friend, I always like to give the gospel story. I like to tell you every time how that the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven. He was born of a virgin. We're about to celebrate that season. It won't be long till you'll be hearing a lot about this. And down through the ages, we've celebrated every year at this time, at the year end that we're fast approaching, and we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she conceived the Lord Jesus Christ, and He was born without the help of a man, and He was born there in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, because there was no place for Him in the inn. People have always not had room for Jesus. And that's why today it just seems to be worse and worse. But anyway, He was laid in a manger because no one would let Him in the inn. Then He lived a perfect life. Did so many wonderful things. Performed so many miracles. Blessed, touched so many lives. And then one day He was falsely accused. The Pharisees' religion hated Him, and so they lied about Him and brought Him before Pilate, who could find nothing wrong with Him, but didn't have the courage to stand up and defend an innocent man. Therefore, He finally gave in and let them crucify Him. And there they placed Him on that old rugged cross. They nailed His hands and feet, and they stood Him up between heaven and earth. And He hung there in shame. And He was mocked. He was spit upon. He was laughed at. And then eventually, when all things had been fulfilled, He simply dismissed His spirit to go back to the Father. He died there that day of his own free will. Death didn't take him. He gave it up. And then on that third day, he rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Today, he says to you, friend, come unto me, all ye who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's rest out there, neighbor. There's rest from that guilt and shame of your past sins and the life that you've lived. You don't have to be living under that kind of a burden. God will deliver you from that. He said that his burden was light. His yoke was easy, and his burden was light. The Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. The way of the Lord, my friend, he'll help you bear that burden. I just wonder today if there's somebody out there that the Lord's spoken to. If they are, I pray that you'll bow your head someplace, humble your heart, ask God to save you. And on the authority of God's word, I can promise you that if you do that sincerely from the heart, God will save you this very day. Now may God bless you. Right there.